So, we are building a new way. This morning, a member of the congregation asked me, and as it happened, Rick Tangerman, what does that mean? What is that new way? Now, I have an explanation, but I really like what Rick said, and that's what I wanted to repeat. Rick said, building a new way means that we are moving from our current culture of scarcity to a culture of generosity, to a culture of abundance. We're moving from scarcity to abundance. And all of us are blessed with abundance. Even those of us that are poor are blessed with abundance. We're blessed with abundance. Now, I wanted to do a little bit of pre-sermon sermonizing, which is what I'm doing right now. And so I thought, as a good Unitarian Universalist, I should turn to those sources of knowledge that we Unitarians turn to. And coming from a Judeo-Christian background, I brought my great-grandfather's Holy Bible. Brings me comfort from time to time. This man lived to be 91 years old and was alive and very well into my adulthood. And I learned a lot from him. One of them was, early in my life, he was a very poor man. He was a carpenter, by the way. But a very poor man. Lived in a small trailer. He and my great-grandmother lived in a small trailer with a little lean-to going under the side of it. But one of the things that I always found with him is that he gave generously. He gave generously. He was a devout Seventh-day Adventist. And he gave generously to his church, but he also gave generously in his community, to his friends. It was a very interesting man. But as I turn to the Holy Scripture, and you know me, I haven't done this before in here. I asked Rick if it would be okay. But I want to share with you two pieces of Scripture this morning before we get started with our speeches. One of them is from the Gospel according to Mark, 12:41-44, Mark. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Just like I watched you this morning, putting your offerings into those plates. I'm not saying that I'm Jesus, by the way. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in 2 cents. Two very small copper coins. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty. She put in everything she had to live on." We're not asking anyone to put in everything they have to live on. But the thing I want to point out with that reading is, regardless over the next month what you have that you can commit to our flesh drive, every amount is valuable and valued, and we accept it graciously as a congregation. So give as generously as you can. If you saw some of the things were flashing across the screen perhaps earlier, give not until it hurts, but give until it feels good. The second point I wanted to make, the second part of the gospel that I wanted to talk about is the gospel according to Luke, Luke 12:48. And I think you all probably know this one. Unto whom is given, as much is given, much is required, much is expected. And we are truly a blessed congregation. All of us, regardless of how much money we have, we are truly blessed. And one of the things then that I want to do with the rest of this time is to have some people share with you their blessing, why they are committed to WOF. And I believe we are going to start with Mary Yusui. So, Mary?
Hello. I realized in listening to the service today that one thing I forgot to mention, how I appreciate WOLF is the music. I just get blown away by the choristers and everything that we're doing of the everything. My first experiences in a church were in elementary school. My parents sent us to Sunday school, but after a bad experience in a prior church, didn't go themselves. I learned that God was an old man in the sky, Jesus was invisible and always watching, and that the minister's daughter was better than the rest of us. In thinking about it, she probably was a very nice person, her and her friends. It's the adults that were fawning over her that made it very difficult for the rest of us. I didn't see where the Bible stories were useful in my life. I went to an Episcopal church some in my teens and got married in it, but thought the dogma was make-believe. My daughter Vanessa went to college in Portland and stayed after she graduated. When my husband died, I knew that I wanted to live in the same city as her. I waited 2 years because I wanted to be strong and didn't want to lean on her. I'm saving the leaner for later on. Vanessa heard about Unitarian Universalists from a friend and suggested we try First Church. We went together several times, and then I went alone for a while. I couldn't find my way at First Church because there were too many people, and I couldn't find a place to focus. So I looked on the web and found a listing for Wolf. I drove down Olson and realized it's been there all the time, and I hadn't noticed it. Carol Greer was the chair of the membership committee at that time, and she was very welcoming. My first visit was Labor Day 2007. I kept coming because I liked the philosophy, people were friendly, and the only people I knew in Portland were my daughter and daughter-in-law. There was a good chance that if I didn't go to church on Sunday, I wouldn't get out that week at all. This doesn't mean that I always felt comfortable in a coffee room or sanctuary. Sometimes I found myself standing alone and feeling out of place. And I felt uncomfortable when I sat alone in the sanctuary. I eventually realized that a lot of the people sit alone and then socialize later in the coffee room. So I didn't feel like I stood out anymore. It seems to me that people don't sit alone as much nowadays as they used to. Soon after I started coming, Carol asked me to be on the membership committee, and I became a member. The next year, I was asked to join the board to be treasurer. My biggest fear was that I would go up to some old-timer and ask them if they were new. The Wolf of today and the me of today have changed a great deal. Sarah has helped us become a more mature community. We have a covenant of right relations and a new mission statement. I used to look at the congregation and know pretty well about two-thirds of the people and know who most of the rest of them were. Now I see so many new faces, and I'm excited to get to know them. We have social justice projects, community outreach, and great sermons. I see more children all the time. I'm talking in front of you. As I write this, I'm hoping that I'm not talking really fast. This is something I wouldn't have dreamed of in the past. I feel comfortable here and loved. I come to Wolf each week to get my hugs and have great conversations. I know from personal experience that having Sarah to consult with helps me in what I do for Wolf, and I have the joy of knowing so many wonderful people. Through sermons, I am more comfortable now with the G word and most of the others. I've discovered that one can redefine spirituality and worship and let them enrich your life. There have been many changes over the last few years, and although it hasn't always been easy to get used to them, I hope that Wolf's Path continues to serve your needs as it has mine.
Our second speaker this morning is Lorraine Neville.
Good morning. When Patrick asked me to tell you why I give generously of my time, talent, and treasures, I was reminded of a piece we read the other day at one of our Committee on Ministry meetings. We usually begin with an inspirational reading of some sort, and the other day we read this one from a little book called Serving with Grace, Lay Leadership as a Spiritual Practice. And it said, "People who come to Unitarian Universalism seeking spiritual goods are likely to be disappointed as long as they have the outlook of consumers in search of material goods. If their connection to our liberal faith is to grow into something more rewarding, they have to give up the consumer mindset and begin to think of themselves instead as shareholders, investors, co-owners, of what happens in the church, just as the parties in a marriage see themselves as partners rather than competitors with a joint share in the success of the enterprise. I found this to be so meaningful because that's the way I think of my contributions to WOF. I don't think of them as transactional, as an I get this so I give that kind of thing. Rather, I think of them as investments in a valuable UU community that is so needed in the world. My community. I want WOF to thrive because so many people need a place like this, including me. A place where you can be who you are, where you can believe what you're compelled to believe instead of what somebody tells you that you must believe. I invest in WOF because I feel ownership of it. I believe passionately in our seven principles, and I want to own those values in a meaningful way and promote them in whatever way I can in the world. Sure, there are some things here at WOF that I don't participate in directly, such as Eldertopia. I don't have any children or grandchildren in the RE program either, for example. But I want to invest in WOF as a whole community, not just parts of it, because the whole of it enriches my life. That's what community is. We're all in this together, as they say. Most of you know I don't have much family. I moved to Portland not really knowing a soul. I was alone, but I was not afraid. I was not afraid because I knew WOF and other UU communities were here, and I would find people who were on the same page as I am, who shared my values, and who would care about me. Here I have a ready-built community. WOF has become the anchor of my life. It has become my extended family. It helps me to find meaning in my life. And to me, that's worth investing in. We offer this inclusivity to anybody who wants it. I had a friend in Mobile, for example, who was struggling with multiple addictive problems. And that said to me, very heartfelt, that our congregation had literally saved his life. That's pretty powerful. So I just want to stress how important it is that we're here and that we thrive. It's about us, but it's not all about us. It's about what we can offer to others in the larger community. This fellowship is worth my investment in the now and my investment in the future. Stewardship, the giving of my time, talent, and treasure, is a way I can give back. I believe it is my privilege and my obligation in living out my faith.
Our third speaker is John Riles.
Thank you, Brother Patrick, for that inspiring reading this morning. This is my home, and you are my family, part of my family. I feel very emotional about this, so I'm not sure I'm going to be able to get through all this without a John Boehner moment. But why do I say that? Well, I worked for 40 years. I worked in private industry as well as in public government. And there were some fine people there. But in an organization like that, you don't talk about politics. You don't talk about values. You're there to do a job, and you do a job. And you relate to each other in a rather incomplete way. At WOF, this is the home of my core. This is the home of a deep sense of who I am. And that's very inspiring to me. Not just inspiring of tears, but certainly very engaging to me. Where would I be without WOF? Well, or without UU? I'd be in that organization or in work organizations. I participate in a lot of different social action activities and organizations, but they're all kind of single purpose. They don't really engage the whole person. I find the opportunity here to really engage the whole person that I am. I have noticed there's a eighth note springing out of the chalice, and I really enjoy singing in UU environments where there's a lot of sensitivity to our values, and very inspiring to our values. But Wolf engages a lot more than that. I'm active in social activities here as well. The beach cleanup, wonderful event, and the Pride Parade, which I refer to as the peak of my social calendar for a year. Some people may think I need to get a life, but it is very, very enjoyable. You should try it. But it's an attitude beyond the people that I need at those specific activities. We had this, I believe, talk some years ago, and the person involved inspired me to ask a question. And the question was, well, on my way to church today, I tuned in Rush Limbaugh, and Brother Rush said, greed is good. That was the message. And I got about the same response then as I now. Actually, I got a few boos at the mention. And then there was some laughter. And to me, that really captures much of the arc of my social consciousness. I was glad to be able to share that. Certainly an expression of values, but also a certain amount of lightheartedness and willingness to listen. And I value that very greatly as well. In summary, this really makes me feel like this is a place where I not only belong, but I need to support so that it continues to be there for me and for all of us, my family, and my home. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Our fourth speaker is Maura Taylor, one of our newest members.
I've got my phone here to look off of just in case I need to cheat. What a millennial here, right? I'm really so thrilled that I'm getting to speak to you guys this morning. I'm one of the newest members. I've been coming here less than a year. I think I first came in June of last year. So it's pretty amazing that as a new member I get to speak to you, which I think says a lot about Wolf, but I won't get ahead of myself. I have actually been a UU all my life. Just after I was born in Shenandoah Valley, Virginia, I was taken to the Shenandoah Valley UU Church for the Rose Ceremony. My parents, when I lived in New Mexico, we went to Sunday services every week. And a lot of my friends from more traditional kind of religious traditions came home from Sunday school afraid of going to hell, or ashamed of being different. And I never came home that way. I came home having learned about Buddhism or shrinky dinks and was very excited. So I was very excited for church every week. And then as I got older, I got to do OWL. Which we're doing Wolf right now, and I'm so excited because OWL is incredible. It's the UU program for compassionate, honest sex education for youth. And in my community, we had abstinence-only sex ed in schools. So having been to OWL made me the sex ed guru. after health class, people would surreptitiously come up to me in the hallway like, hey, Maura, I heard you know about things. They taught us a lot about marginalized gender and sexual identities. They had actual trans people and gay people come in to tell us about their experiences, which was amazing, for a seventh grader to get that experience. So I'm so glad that Wolf is continuing to do OWL. In high school, I got my first car, so my parents didn't go to church anymore, but I could still go. And it's great to go to church by yourself, kind of like Mary was talking about sitting alone in church. I like sitting alone in church. It gives you a lot of chance to kind of interact and be welcomed into the congregation and to form your own spiritual identity. So when I went to church in high school, I really formed my own UU identity. And then I came to Portland, and for the first few years, I didn't have a car, so I wasn't sure how to get to church. I took the bus down to First Unitarian a few times, but as cool as the concept of a Unitarian super church is, it wasn't quite the community I was looking for. I felt kind of lost, you know, it's so big. So I did some Googling, and sure enough, I found Woof. And I thought, that looks right. And I came, and sure enough, it was. It was absolutely right. Everything that I have always loved about Unitarian Universalism, Woof embodies and expands upon. The commitment to social justice, like in a very concrete form, all the work with the farm workers, the raging grannies, going out there and raging. I love that. And, you know, the fantastic sermons from Sarah and from everyone else, the lay-led aspect of the fellowship is really cool. The religious education, obviously, as someone who benefited immensely from that growing up, I love that too. There's very little I don't love. One of the things I actually love the most about Woof is its commitment to community. I've been to a couple different Unitarian churches, and I think out of any of them, Woof makes the most effort to make sure people can really grow in fellowship with one another. All of the time that we spend with joys and sorrows, I cherish that time. The way we do the group soups and the potlucks during the summer, and all sorts, you know, all the different RE programs, the retreats. I think it's just really awesome. And especially for me, it's interesting. You know, listening to Patrick talk about the woman putting the 2 cents in the basket, I feel very much like that woman right now in terms of stewardship as time, talent, and treasure. As a college student, I have very little of any of those at this moment. At times I feel a little concerned that I can't seem to give back as much to this community as it is giving to me. I guess in that sense you would say I'm an investment congregant. I'm constantly telling people, I say, don't you worry, as soon as I graduate, I'm going to be on every clipboard, you know. I've had friends ask me about that. I'm a demographic minority in terms of my age here and in most UU congregations. And a lot of my friends say, you know, why? Do you want to go to one church? Just one? Every week? Forever? Yeah. And I think to me, commitment is its own spiritual practice. I think in this world, it's incredibly rapidly moving, very intense. We get desensitized to these quiet little rituals. Like sitting in church every Sunday. And I know there's a lot of concern sometimes about trying to get young people back into the church, and I think it's because it's hard to get people who feel like they have no time, you know. We think we want instant spiritual rebirth, not methodical spiritual growth. I don't have time for that. You know, in a Unitarian church, there will be no fire and brimstone. There will be no crying hallelujah in the back. And yet there's this beautiful ritual of joy that goes on. And I think that's just so undersold in the modern era. And so for me, committing to Woof and becoming a member and kind of vowing to give as much as I can for as long as I can to Woof is a commitment to that daily, incremental spiritual growth and relationship with that community that I want to keep nurturing for as long as I can. Thank you.
Sarah is going to say a few words as our first speaker.
I was asked to sort of wrap it up. And truly what I want to hold up is the miracle and joy of this community that people have spoken to. We've heard from college, everybody from college student to a grandfather. You know, we've heard about people who came here looking for a place to get out of the house, a place to contribute to their own peace of mind, but also contribute to the greater world. And isn't really that what we're here for? We're here to heal ourselves, to heal this community, and to heal the wider world. And when we give of our time and talent and treasure, that's how we can let that to happen. It is a great thing to be moving forward to building a new way and to get the stewardship off the ground.